Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When God closes a door in your life, keep abiding in Him and serving Him in what you know to be His revealed, practical will, knowing this: in His time, He will providentially reveal His secret will to you. When He does, do not delay to obey Him. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 16 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 13.
I can't emphasize how important it is, beloved, and we all deal with it no matter how young, how old, no matter whether we're married or not. When we have to deal with these question marks about life. Why isn't this door opening? Why is this door closed? Well, it's not bad to ask God a question, as long as it's not with a shaking fist. Lord, what does this mean? The closed doors in your life are just as important as the ones that He opens. And sometimes God's answer — I didn't share this with the first service, so if somebody asks you, what'd you think of the message? Don't tell them this. When Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times and he asked for it to be removed, that's a logical thing, right? You got this painful thorn in the flesh. Was God's answer yes? No. Was it no? No. What was His answer? My grace is sufficient. Many times in the waiting period, it's God's grace that is sufficient. He's working in you and He's working in me. He's working in us congregationally, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So they're rowing. They're rowing. They come down to Troas, and then in verse 9, beloved, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Macedonia was located in northern Greece, the ancient territory of Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. The Greeks in Paul's day thought of the Macedonians as being barbarians, but I want you to see something here. When this vision came to Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us, look at what it says in verse 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately, when God spoke, immediately, in other words, they could discern this was an open door. It wasn't guess. They knew. God spoke to them. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, this is interesting. When someone calls you and I with a need, and there are valid needs, physical needs, financial needs, all kinds of needs we had. But when the apostles and when Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke heard Macedonia, come over and help us, what was the first thing that came to their mind? They need to hear the gospel. You see, they put the priority on the eternal. I'm sure there were other needs. Corinth was in Macedonia. They had poverty, but the immediate need was somebody calls you. Can you visit me? Can you come over? Can you talk to me? Now, we should be ready and willing to do that, but many times it's an opportunity, whether they are saved or unsaved, to preach the gospel. How many of you know that the gospel is just as good for the saved as it is for the unsaved? So many times, I need to preach the gospel in the morning. I need to look at that face in the mirror and go, oh, Lord, help us. Why are you laughing? How many know that it's important to preach the gospel to yourself? How many of you know that? How many times do you preach the gospel to yourself? It is so edifying to know, to remind ourselves of who we are, good news. And so they heard this, they got this vision, and they interpreted it to mean Macedonia needs the gospel. One thing about Paul, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul didn't have a comfort zone when it comes to following Jesus Christ. Do you? Do I? Do we? Listen to this bio of Paul. Macedonia became the home to a number of early churches. He writes his letters to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He visited this region on two occasions during his journeys through Europe and Asia. We know that over the course of 13 years, he embarked on 3 missionary journeys, traveling more than 7,000 miles and planting at least 14 new churches, and he didn't fly business class. How did he do it? What motivated him? What drove him? He understood the gospel. That's what drove him. Think about it. Crunch those numbers. 7,000 miles. Crunch those numbers. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, he would go to Europe. How many of you are of European descent here today? Look at all the hands. Yeah. Aren't you glad that God got him to go to that area? Not all of us. Now, Paul would open the door for, or God would open the door for Paul to go to Asia later. How many of you are of Asian descent? Raise your hand. There we go. Yeah. 5 of you. 2 family. I know who you are. I know exactly where you sit every week, unless somebody gets here before you do. Okay? Aren't you glad that God closed the doors? Now, here's the thing to learn. Because God closes a door on you doesn't mean that that is a closed door on someone else. It just simply means God's got somebody else to do the thing that you want to do. Okay, good. Well, I'm from the camp that is of the European descent. Look at us. Come over and help us. And the gospel went there into Europe. Now, verse 10, they went to worship, or they went, endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And how many of you know that the people of Macedonia and Europe still need to hear the gospel today? In fact, one of the saddest things when you go to Europe is that what once was a thriving Christian community is almost flatlined. Almost flatlined. I was teaching a class last Thursday night of how Paul called Philip to go from Samaria to Gaza. And the place was at one time bursting with people walking with Christ. We are on a flatlined planet right now. And the only hope for what's going on in the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only one who can bring that gospel is you and me, all those who are blood-bought, born again, and spirit-filled. And I think it was Keith Green that said years ago, this generation of believers will be responsible for this generation of souls. And so they said, come over and help us. And so they went. Now, verse 11, it says, they loosed from Troas, came with a straight course to Samothracia, that's a tongue twister, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city for certain days. They sailed straight for Samothracia. That's a nautical term. You know what that means? The wind was at their back. The distance from Troas to Neapolis was 150 miles. Pastor Chuck Smith has an interesting comment on the timing of this journey from Troas to Neapolis. They had good winds. They were carrying them the direction they wanted to go. Later, Paul made the same crossing, but it took 5 days. This time it took 1 day. But God is guiding him now to Macedonia. He endeavors to obey the call of God. The winds are with him, and he comes right across to Macedonia. Sometimes as we're serving the Lord, the winds are with us. Things go smooth. We're cooking right along. Other times, hey, it's a heavy push all the way. You know, it seems like you're rowing all the way and the wind is against you. But it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God because it's difficult now. So Please understand that when God opens a door, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be smooth sailing, because the door that he opens to us to evangelize this world is still in the hands of the devil. The world system is still antichrist. And sometimes an open door, well, it's like when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, a great and effectual door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. It's not uncommon when you find that open door to go and preach that there will be opposition. When we go to India, there's opposition. I just met a friend of mine who has a ministry in Haiti planting churches. There's opposition. There's opposition in this nation. There's opposition in this world, because this world is antichrist by nature. You know that, right? It's never going to improve. Never interpret our advances in technology and medicine to mean that we're now Christianized. No way. And so with an open door, there are adversaries. There's always going to be opposition. And so they go to Philippi. From Neapolis to Philippi was about 10 miles. It was a chief part of the city of Macedonia, and they stood there for many days. Philippi was a Roman colony. For you history buffs, it was the location where Brutus was defeated by Mark Antony in that critical battle. And a Roman colony was like a piece of Rome transplanted abroad. And remember what Paul said while he was in a Philippian jail. Remember what he said to the church that was concerned? Paul, you doing okay? You're in a prison. He goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. He goes, God's got me here to further the gospel. And then he wrote to them in chapter 3 of Philippians, verses 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul is saying, I'm in a prison cell, but my home is in heaven. Now, we all came here to the beautiful town of East Rochester from various locations here in the area, right? But this earth is not our home. You know that, right? Our citizenship is in heaven. We are a colony of heaven on earth, seeking to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this fallen world. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What does an ambassador do? They represent their home. I'm not here this morning to represent Penfield, New York. I'm not even here to represent the United States of America. I'm here to represent, and you're here to represent, heaven. We are transplants from heaven on earth. Look at you. You. Let me get a good look at you. You're the victorious army. Please look like you are, at least. Try to. You are. We're the ones that God has sent on a redemptive mission. We are to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. That's our home. And let me tell you, the place that Jesus is building for us right now, it would make Hawaii on its best day look like a slum. But that's not what we are there for, primarily. Because we'll see the King in all of his glory, in all of his beauty, in all of his splendor. And every one of us will be extremely charismatic when we get to heaven. Amen. You can count on it. I'll remind you when you see me in heaven. Go, see, told you. So, now what was the vision? A man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Look at verse 13. And so on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was known to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted there. Now, do you think that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke were saying, okay, where's the guy? Ever have the Lord throw, like, a in baseball terms, a knuckleball or a curveball at you? Because he wants you to tap in for further instructions. This is one of them. And so you had to have at least 10 Jewish males to have a synagogue. There was no synagogue So there may have been some males there, but these are women having a prayer meeting. It's so beautiful when you hear the ladies praying at the church. Ladies, there's prayer meetings here. Men, there's prayer meetings here. And these ladies are praying. They were praying the Shema, no doubt. They were praying the normal Sabbath prayers. They're praying. They're praying. And notice, this prayer group is what gave birth to the church in Philippi. Isn't that awesome? 10 ladies prayer. I wouldn't know how many there were. And when you read ahead, and you will read ahead, won't you? Yeah, you'll read ahead. You're going to see Luke telling us that as now they begin to enter into what they know is the open door of God, they're going to see the salvation of a wealthy woman by the name of Lydia, an exploited slave girl, a middle-class officer. Paul and Silas are going to be beaten up a little bit. They're going to be thrown into prison, and they are going to be used by the Lord to lead a Philippian jailer to the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Now, we know all of that because we read ahead. These guys didn't know that. Did you ever deceive yourself in thinking, Lord, I want to know what the big picture is for my life? You ever pray that? No, you don't want to know. If God showed you the last 10 years of your life, 10 years ago, how many of you would offer to get on the next rocket to Pluto? Oh, I want to know. No, you don't. All you need to know is the next step. That's all you need to know. That's all we need to know is the next step. To step out in obedience. And then he'll show you step number two. And then he'll show you step number three. And then you get to that place, go, oh, I get it now. How many of you that are getting old, you go, oh, now I know why he closed that door. Oh, now I know why that never happened. Oh, now I know why she said, I don't like you. Thank God. Or why he said, well, then now you know why he shut that business deal. Why he, now you know, God, you are so wise. You see, beloved, the closed doors in your life are just as important as the open doors. But when you have open doors, don't expect that it's always going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be opposition. And make sure that when you do go through an open door, that you are called by God to do that. So little did Paul and Silas know what God had in store for them. All right, let's try to sum this up. I trust that God's speaking to some of your hearts today. You're in the process of making some kind of a decision. It may be a relational decision, a vocational decision. And what you want to do is may your heart be neutral, as neutral as can be, and praying, Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You lead me. You guide me. Don't try to manipulate circumstances. Don't try to force the will of God. The supernatural will of God will just flow. You're just going to be rowing and rowing in obedience until the word comes. Amen? Can you deal with that? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. But so are the stops of a good man or good woman. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, you know the verse, huh? You've read it once or twice, haven't you? Here's how it reads. Trust in the Lord with 50% of your heart, and then 50% I'll take care of God. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways? And he will direct your path. And sometimes in directing your path, stop. Go. Wait. Amen? Yeah. I want us to see a few things here before we close in worship. Now, Paul's desire to preach the gospel in Asia was right, because the cities of Asia did need to hear the gospel. But the timing was wrong. Paul would eventually go to Asia, but it would be in the future, not then. When God says no, don't say go. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you stop witnessing. It just means that's a closed door. Sometimes it means not now. And when you are seeking the will of God for your life, again, make sure that your heart is as neutral as can be. And Lord, I'm open to how you lead, how you guide me, and be sensitive to what things are going on around you. No coincidences in the kingdom of God. Like Paul, sometimes our desire is right, but the timing is wrong. I love that passage in the Psalms. God makes all things beautiful in his time. Remember singing that? In his time, right? We used to sing the raising our hands. God makes everything beautiful in his time. I make things ugly in my time. He does make all things beautiful in his time. Do you believe that? Can you trust him with that? Sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? Now, wait doesn't mean stop being a Christian. Doesn't mean that you bail out. It means that you continue abiding, waiting for direction. You see, it's not revealed in Scripture that God gave to Paul the reason for the rejection of his plans. He knew that the doors were shut. And when it's shut, thank him. Lord, thank you for shutting that door. You may be disappointed this morning by the doors that God has closed for you in life. But don't be discouraged. Know that God has something different or something better. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. We have a good God who gives us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. My problem is not yours. I usually say, can I have silver and gold? When he would want to say, oh, no, I have much more for you, Raymond. You know? He has much more. Trust him. Trust him. The gospel eventually went to Europe, went to Asia. But the gospel is not religion. How many of you know that the gospel is not religion? Religion is man-made. The gospel is spirit-led. I love how Tim Keller, who's now in heaven, said this. Traditional religion says, I give God a good moral record, so he has to bless me. The gospel says, God gives me a good moral record through Christ, so I want to bless him. And then he said, if I obey, according to religion, then God will love and accept me. The gospel says God loves and accepts me. Therefore, I want to obey. You see, it's completely different. It's completely different. Because conversion is an inside job. It's a job of the heart. And if today you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You don't know the day or the hour that is appointed for you to die. You will die. You will die. We all will die. We all have a term life on earth. You could be witnessing to somebody, and I was witnessing to somebody, a younger person. So sharing the gospel, go, well, you know, I want to finish college first. Okay, then what? I want to get my master's degree. Okay, and then what? Well, then I want to meet Mr. Wright. And then what? I want to have children. And then what? I want to have grandchildren. Then what? I want to have a successful practice. Then what? I want to buy a house. Then what? And, you know, the great American dream. And then it says, okay, here you are. Now you're in a nursing home. Now you're my age. Then what? You die. So what's the most important thing? Come over and help us. The gospel. You can be born again today if you will trust in Jesus Christ. That he died for your sins on the cross. That he was buried. That he rose again from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of God. And one day, soon and very soon, he is going to return. And the whole world is going to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.